President Barack Obama plans to sign the Digital Accountability and Transparency Act. That's the DATA Act. Big changes are ahead for federal agencies. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins us to explain why getting the bill to the president's desk may have been the easy part of this nearly three-year effort. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
So, Jason, what does the DATA Act call for?
Well, the DATA Act actually is a bill, another bill in a really long history of attempts by Congress and really the open government community at large to make government data more easily accessible. I'm going to go through some history. Tom will tell us all about all these bills because he's lived through, of them all. But this broad effort really dates back to the Freedom of Information Act. And that,
I told President Garfield we need to do this.
I think he appreciated it. I mean, you know, I thought it was Roosevelt. But anyways, so the Freedom of Information Act initially from 1966 really got this whole idea of open government started. In the 90s, we saw the Clinger-Cohen Act. That morphed into the E-Government Act of 2003. And then in 2006, there was the Federal Funding Accountability and Transparency Act, commonly known as FFATA, my favorite acronym in all of government. And then the Government Performance and Results Act and its updated version in 2010. So here you have a plethora of bills trying to improve, really pry federal data from the bowels of government. So here comes the DATA Act, the latest attempt. Now, what this calls for is OMB and Treasury to lead an effort over the next 2 years to standardize and make public a wide variety of data, financial management, procurement, grants, and other types of information to improve transparency and agency management, but also to make compliance with laws and regulations less burdensome. Virginia Senator Mark Warner is one of the bill's authors.
Carfinice and I, original versions were probably even a bit stronger, but, you know, we've got something now that has actually passed. It has been an interesting path, getting, I think, some parts of the bureaucracy to realize this really is Congress's intent. You need to let this information get a little more sunlight. You need to let there be a little more transparency. We need to be working. This will not happen overnight, we realize, but the common financial standards, the American taxpayer, and all of us deserve that. In an era when every major private sector enterprise can follow the money, we ought to be able to do the same at the federal government level.
Now, Warner says a lack of a coherent financial management system makes it virtually impossible to follow the money across the government today. And then they'd act, well, eventually they could make it easier to see what happens from the time the Congress appropriates that dollar to the time that that dollar gets entered into the Treasury's general ledger system, the whole life cycle of the dollar, if you will. The bill also calls for more oversight by IGs and the Government Accountability Office over spending and for Treasury to improve data quality and make data easier to access on the USAspending.gov portal.
Now, Jason, there's a lot of optimism about this bill, and you mentioned the whole string of prior bills going back several generations, really. So why are people optimistic about this attempt?
Yeah, it seems kind of weird that we've played this broken record before, really excited, and then things just fall off the wayside. I think there's several reasons. I think the first one has to be the fact that the soon-to-be law does build on the success of the Recovery Act and the Recovery Accountability and Transparency Board, commonly known as the RAP Board. In fact, the RAP Board has been extended for 2 years to oversee how the government and the recipients spend money from to help rebuild from Hurricane Sandy. In fact, the Recovery Act, that work under that bill would actually end in May 1st. So it's actually pretty exciting to see the government organization actually complete its mission and not just get extended and extended by Congress. Now, under the DATA Act, the Recovery Board will actually transition its Recovery Operations Center, the state-of-the-art Data Analytics Center, to the Treasury Department and then work closely with the Treasury Department and OMB to get the bill's implementation going. Catherine Tai is the chairwoman of the RAP Board and the IG at the Education Department.
We really changed the conversation about transparency and accountability. Although we were not the first federal venture into transparency, I think FFATA and even earlier ventures, and nor were we the first venture into accountability. I think that putting those two concepts together in a board of independent inspectors general was really a very unique way of going about business, and I think ultimately a successful experiment. It has been clear to us on the board that transparency really does drive accountability, both in terms of making the public part of the process. These are the so-called citizen IGs that transparency gives an opportunity to put out there. But also in terms of enhancing the quality of information related to federal spending, that really is critical to the data analysis that we have done to prevent and detect fraud, waste, and abuse.
Now, Treasury and the Government Accountability and Transparency Board, or the GAP Board, which actually did spun off from the Recovery Board, will play key roles in this implementation effort. And the fact is, the GAP Board has already been working on some of the most difficult challenges over the last 3 years, and that's a good sign because it shows just how important this idea of data accountability and transparency has become across government. Now, Dick Ginman is the chairman of the GAP Board and the director of Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy. He says there is no daylight between what the GAP Board is doing and the requirements under the Data Act, especially around data standards and increasing transparency. Let me just give you a couple quick examples of what the GAP Board has been working on and how it meshes with the Data Act. Now, Ginman says there's actually a FAR case that he expects to be finalized later this year around something called cage codes. Now, this is going to let people, interested parties, reporters, other vendors, government, whoever, see the ownership connections between companies. You know, as you all know, there are different listings from different companies and how they are all connected together. That's something that's been missing. You might remember a hearing from a few months ago that I covered where Senator Claire McCaskill brought up how there's something like 80 different instances in the System for Award Management, the SAM system, for Lockheed Martin. There's Lockheed, there's Lockheed Martin Corp, there's Lockheed Martin Corporation, there's LMCO, and so on and so forth, and none of them were connected. Ginman says agencies will be using these cage codes to show that parent, if you will, parent-child relationship all the way down to the, you know, fifth child twice removed from the cousin on the left side. Agencies also are using something called unique identifiers for contracts, and this is something that's just getting started across government. And this was something that's just, again, another major problem. Ginman says at one agency, there was at least six different formats for how that one agency, you know, kind of labeled their contracts, identified contracts. The way this will work is there'll be a series of digits. The first set of digits will identify the office that's putting the contract in place. The next two digits will tell you what year it was done in. The next set of digits will tell you the type of contract, firm fixed price, off of BPA. They'll figure all those out from a standards setting perspective. And then there'll be an eight-digit serial number that is going to be agency-specific as kind of a smart designator. Now, finally, Ginman says the GAP Board created another requirement for something called line items. Now, this is within each contract, each individual price will be listed, and I think it's really part of what GSA and OFPP, their desire to create a data-rich prices paid portal.
I think the GAP Board has brought the groups together and has put a focus to it and has driven us to, one, the absolute need to get to data standards. I think that was a clear lesson learned out of the RAC Board and a clear requirement to get to unique IDs. Yeah, so that we got the wherewithal to do that. And I think the GAP Board can take credit for putting a focus on it and driving it and getting individual groups of people at the agencies to go do it.
Now, that same focus is really going to be key to implement the Data Act.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. So what are the biggest implementation challenges over the next 3 years? I noticed, by the way, you said they have a two-digit date code, so they've got 86 years to worry about that one for the next
time. Until the Y3K or something, right?
So that's right.
Or Y21K. I think that's a video game.
986 years.
I think there are several lessons learned from challenges, and some would say from the failures of FFATA. Now, the first is definitely leadership from the top, and I know we say that all the time, but OMB and Treasury, without a doubt, have to be out in front of this. If they're not showing excitement around it, if they're not showing that this is a really big priority for them, that's going to flow down to the rest of the government. In fact, Kathleen Tai from the RAP Board says the leadership in the IGs is one of the reasons why the Recovery Board found so much success.
It's time to sort of roll up our sleeves and particularly them, because they're at the center of implementation. But as everybody has said here, is they need to work with the various constituency. But let's come up with a plan that meets the timetable. I don't want to give up right now and say, wow, those timetables are never going to be met. I don't think that's where we should start off the conversation. I think the expectation should be that those timetables, in fact, are met, maybe even improved upon.
Now, she also says there are several areas that will be challenging, including the need for what they call a universal award ID. Kathleen Tai says the GAP Board also has considered that, and OMB has pushed for each agency actually to have its own approach based on a set of standards. There are several other big issues around implementation. One of them, of course, is money. Congress tends to tell the executive branch, go do this, and not provide them with any money. They'll authorize it but not appropriate it, and that obviously causes a lot more challenges. Now, for the RAP Board, they actually received their own appropriations. This year they received something to the effect of $28 million for salaries and expenses, and this pays for the people and the technology systems that are needed. Now, lawmakers did not go that far with the Data Act, but they did give Treasury an important tool. They were going to let Treasury use their franchise fund to get money on a what they call a reimbursable or what I'll call a pass-the-hat basis or even a fee-for-service basis. So while it's not a direct appropriation, and that is always better, at least there is a mechanism for agencies, in this case Treasury, to collect and manage money to help pay for these initiatives. A third big implementation is going to be industry's role. And keep in mind here, industry will play a big role. They provide data to those systems, as well as the technology and the skills on the back end to create the systems. Trey Hodgkins is the Senior Vice President for Public Sector for the IT Alliance for Public Sector.
Industry is supportive of the fact that this has a relatively centralized implementation structure around Treasury and OMB and the GAP Board in the hopes that that will produce a consistent set of requirements. I would suggest government can be helpful by using the pilot programs and the time frame that they offer and the phased approach as a way to make sure we ferret out the best practices that arise, that we can discern from that and use those instead of simply creating a mechanism where it's compliance for compliance sake. And then lastly, make sure that what we create and implement on the back end has the opportunity to help you make better decisions and us make better decisions, again, instead of just data collection for data collection's sake.
Now, GAO found in a recent report from September that part of the reason for the RAP Board's success was because they did do a great job of engaging stakeholders, including people from industry. According to the panel that I actually moderated yesterday at this Data Transparency Summit, they say, you know, hey, this same approach Treasury, OMB must use, engage not just industry, but a wide range of stakeholders. And the way the open government community showed up yesterday, they will be very much involved going forward over the next few years.
All right, so this is going to be fodder for a while. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. Thanks so much for that update.
My pleasure.